Glad to be able to get into the truth of God's Word that informs who we are as a church at Terra Nova Church this morning as we continue on in this journey together in our series, which is called Becoming the Church. We started it this fall as chapter one. We looked at what the local church is universally in terms of those principles and scriptures that we see that would identify a local church anywhere. And chapter two that we're in right now is where we're looking at who we are at Terra Nova specifically. Our local expression is what we're calling this chapter. We're kind of in the middle of this chapter where we first looked at three different monastic ministries at Terra Nova, things that we do and have shaped to help us become better disciples. And now we're in the middle of the second sermon of three, talking about some of our more missional ministries at Terra Nova, things that we do as a community and a family to make more disciples of Jesus Christ. Last week we took a look at what it means to live incarnational lives after the example of Jesus. We talked about how our aim here as your pastors in terms of our shepherding focus and our aim as a congregation is to be equipped as missionaries wherever we are to following the example of Jesus in John 1:14, be present with the people God has put us amongst and full of grace and truth. Next week, we're going to be looking at our gospel story, which is actually closely tied to the idea of living incarnational lives because I would argue nothing better incarnates the gospel than telling the story of what God has done in the world through the story of your life and through the story of my life, the gospel as it is intersected with your own life, and then telling that story to those around you. And so we'll be spending some time next week sharing the framework we use at Terra Nova to tell that story and some of the specific language we've chosen at Terra to help equip you as disciples to tell your stories to the world. Today, kind of the middle sermon in this part of this chapter on missional ministries is talking about what it means that we are a multiplying church family. And in short, what we mean by that is our value of church planting, that we go narrow and deep in the work of church planting when it comes to a corporate focus on mission here at Terra Nova Church. And the reason for that is simply because we see multiplying churches as the primary New Testament strategy for multiplying the presence of Jesus and his gospel in this world, plain and simply put. So we'll get more into that in a moment, but I think it would be best to start off a little bit with our own story here at Terra Nova in Saratoga before getting into the what's and whys of church planting. Because for those of you who may not know, maybe you've only been with us for a few months or a few years, we were a church plant. I guess there was a time and a season where we would say we are a church plant. I don't know where the line is crossed where you were versus you are. For those of you who were with us in 2013 when we planted, it still feels like we are. For those of you who've been here for a couple of years or 5 years or 7 years and don't even necessarily know that piece of our history, you might not think of us as a church plant. So I don't know where that line is. I'll always think of us as a church plant. The reality is any church that exists anywhere was at one time planted, right? But we are the beneficiary of a movement that's rooted in Scripture that was designed by God to flourish through church planting. And so I just want to share a little bit of our own story and our own inception, how we came to be in Terra Saratoga. The roots of this are in the vision of that God placed upon the hearts of the pastors who founded Terra Nova Church in Troy 20 years ago in 2006. And it was always the vision of those pastors and of that church plant not to stop with themselves, but to see Christ-centered, gospel-preaching, Bible-believing churches planted in all the major downtown centers of the capital region. And around 2011, so maybe 5-6 years into Terra Nova Troy having been planted, with that heart, the pastors began to have conversations and the congregation began to pray about planting a church in Saratoga Springs. Now, the question is why? That wasn't just a random decision. And so I want to share a little bit with you the answers. First of all, because that's the way God was leading us, the Holy Spirit and his direction in our lives always has to be a part of the equation. But there are also some practical things that we've always used as a rubric, as a set a criteria to kind of sense whether God is leading us in a direction of partnering with church plants or planting a church. We'll use the analogy sometimes of lights on the horizon. The metaphor is that of a boat on an ocean, and you see one light, and it may actually be an indicator that that's a lighthouse that's warning you away from rocky shoals. But when you start to see multiple lights begin to appear on a horizon, more oftentimes that is an indication of safe harbor that you can pull into. And so the multiple lights on the horizon that we looked for and saw God's provision of when it came to planting Terra Saratoga were four things: people, provisions, place, and a person. A little bit of the story behind each of those. When it came to people, some of whom are still here as a part of Terra Saratoga, there was around 30 people who were traveling south 20 to 40 minutes from Saratoga County down to Troy, New York, who were meeting in a couple of different tribes, which are our small groups here at Terra Nova, that comprised what we saw as the beginnings of a core group of people for a new church in Saratoga Springs. If you remember a few weeks ago, when we were talking about the monastic ministries at Terra Nova, our tribes or small groups being one of those, one of the values of our small groups are to be about the work of multiplying. And we talked about that in terms of we want to make space for people who need Jesus and want to grow in Jesus to be able to be in small group community. But bigger picture, multiplying our small groups is also about multiplying the church. It is the baseline, the foundation from which new church plants in the same local vicinity can be started. And so there was a couple of small groups already in Saratoga County. So that was people. When it came to provisions, honestly, this was probably the easiest, just the financial piece of it, because since Terra Nova Troy had on its heart from the beginning wanting to be about the work of multiplying churches, they began to save right from the start 10% of the giving that would come in towards the work of future church planting. On top of that, we were networked and still are with a church planting network called Acts 29. And one other church planting network saw what we were doing, heard our pitch, believed God was in it, and gave us funds to be able to get this work here started. And so God was generous through multiple entities. Finances were not an issue. When it came to place, the city of Saratoga Springs was on our radar, not just because it was north of us and that's where a lot of our people were coming from, but because it kind of fit the bill of being a culturally rich downtown center of the capital region. At the time, there were not a lot of gospel-centered, Christ-exalting churches in downtown Saratoga Springs that we knew of. Interestingly, within a five-year period of 2013 to 2017, when we planted four, were planted in the general downtown area of Saratoga Springs, which was cool to see. God was not just, you know, uniquely moving in the hearts and minds of people at Terra Nova, but like he was doing something in the Big C Church, wanting to reach Saratoga Springs. In terms of a physical location, how did we end up here at the First Baptist Church? Some of you know Scott Fisher. Some of you were here when he was actually on staff here as our lead pastor in Saratoga. At the time, in 2012, we have a good relationship with the church at Newtown Road. Then back then, Temple Baptist, and they knew what we were thinking. And Scott was the executive pastor at Newtown Road, and he reached out to us because he had read an article in the Saratogian, the local paper here, about this church that was struggling and having hard times financially and a $10,000 shortfall and was going to have to close its doors by August of 2012 since they didn't have any way to make up that difference. So Scott reached out to us and he said, "Hey, guys, I think you may want to have a conversation with these folks. There could be a mutually beneficial relationship there." And so we did, and it became evident really quickly that that's how God was moving, that in a way that benefited both the First Baptist Church and what God was doing through Terra Nova, we came to be in this place. And then person is the fourth thing, and that at the time was me, and it's a lot more than me now in terms of other people who are on staff with us or are critical leaders here in our church. But at the time, I was a pastoral intern in Terra Nova Troy. I had been in seminary from 2006 to 2011. I graduated in 2011. That was right around the time they were having these conversations. I understood the heartbeat of Terra Nova. I knew the DNA pretty well, loved the people, and loved the vision to reach the greater capital region. And so the pastors reached out and said, "Would you prayerfully consider this?" And on paper, it made all the sense in the world. And so I said yes in faith that on paper, this makes all sense in the world. And those of you who were here in the fall and heard us preach through the message on how we are led by faithful servant leaders as one of the characteristics of what all local churches are comprised of, I shared my personal story there of what I would call just a divine confirmation of God's generosity and grace toward me to really confirm that he was leading me and my family to be a part of this church. You can go back and listen to that if you want. But that was me. So person was me. I said yes to that call. So we had all four of those things, people, provision, place, and person. And so we launched, our core launch phase was actually out of the church at Newtown Road. They had a youth facility that I think used to be their main sanctuary that they let us use throughout that fall. They also have a big heart for church planting. And there was people that came from Newtown Road to be a part of this. They gave us provisions. They were another one of the churches that supported us financially. And they gave us a place, temporarily a home for us to meet in for that core launch phase. And then we actually officially publicly launched here at the First Baptist Church in January of 2013. At that time, we had, by then, maybe 40, 45 people that would consider Terra Nova Saratoga their home, our core group. And now there are about 200 people who call Terra Saratoga home, 140 to 150 people who would gather on any given Sunday. And but because we believe God grows his kingdom through local churches, this isn't just a thing of a past for us. Church planting continues to be a priority for us, and we'll talk about a number of ways in which we're involved in that work still in a bit. What I want to do before we get there is back up just for a step, just for a moment, and talk about the biblical basis that we see for church planting, just very briefly. And there's two things here. We see the church as a biblical priority in general, and we see church planting as a biblical pattern. So let me speak briefly to each of those. When it comes to the church being a biblical priority in God's eyes, we got into this extensively in chapter one of our series, especially in the intro. If you want to go back and listen to it, you weren't here when we talked about the distinction between the universal church and the local church. We got into this. But when we read the New Testament, we see that the church is not just a good idea that man came up with to practically implement, God's, ideas and strategies about how we get the gospel out into the world. But in fact, local churches are God's ordained way of spreading the gospel throughout the world. Now, not exclusively. There's many amazing parachurch ministries that we have supported, that we believe in, that I've been a beneficiary of over the course of my discipleship journey. But in terms of the primary picture we see in the New Testament of God's strategy of spreading the gospel throughout the world, the local church is that ordained entity that he primarily uses for that. And we see this priority come across in a couple of different ways. Number one, we see that the church is Jesus's. Just in terms of ownership, it's important to remember and recognize whose the church is. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says to Peter, and I tell you, this is after Peter's confession of Christ as the Messiah. And he says to Peter in response, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, no matter how you interpret Jesus' words to Peter here about being the rock, whether that's Peter himself or his expression of faith or something else, what is clear is that the church is really important to Jesus. He calls the church my church. And also the church has the power through him to overcome darkness with the light and truth of Christ. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Jesus' church. And so we see that the church is Jesus's, and that the church is also where Jesus is present in a special primary way. He's present everywhere, yes, but in a special way, we see him present in local churches. And we talked about in chapter one, the book of Revelation, when Jesus is dictating to John these letters to send to these churches in Asia Minor. In chapter 2, verse 1, and elsewhere in those letters, he talks about this idea of the church being where he is present. So I would say, even when Jesus is talking about to Peter about the the church being his church, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is a sense in which he has the church universal in mind, and I think that there is a sense in which he has local churches in mind as well. Because the local church is, after all, the place where the attributes of the universal church, God's people everywhere, are lived out tangibly, where they are expressed practically. And we talked about how, while Jesus is, of course, present everywhere, there is a way in which he's specially present in local churches. So Revelation 2, verse 1, Jesus says to John, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands." So when he refers to the lampstands here, these are in reference to the seven local churches that John was writing to in Asia Minor. And Jesus walked among them. He had a special presence, has a special presence in local churches, because local churches, from the Bible, from what we see, are God's ordained way of manifesting his light in the world. Also, so we see this, you know, this priority upon local churches, Jesus' presence with local churches, but what about church planting? Like, where is that in the Bible? A couple places that we, briefly, that we see this. Number one, if you read through the book of Acts, you see a lot of that happening in the book of Acts. And in fact, the church planting network Terra Nova has historically partnered with Acts 29. It's a church planting network, actually plays off of this idea, because how many chapters are there in the book of Acts? Anyone? 28 chapters. So why Acts 29? Because we believe that the work of church planting didn't stop with the New Testament, with those first churches, but continues on today. But I want to take you briefly to another passage of Scripture which implies this pattern of church planting. And it's actually one we might be less familiar with. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And here, it's the Apostle Paul who's the author of this letter. He's writing to his buddy Titus, whom he'd ministered alongside of, on the island of Crete, which is an island of Greece, of the country of Greece. And Paul, of course, as you may know, he was a missionary, so he wasn't a local pastor in any one place indefinitely. He would plant a church, remain there for a time, and then move on, and then preach the gospel elsewhere and plant churches or get them started. And so as Paul continued then on his missionary journey, he left Crete, he writes these words to Titus, and in them we see the pattern for church planting, and we hear a call implied to continue to do this work. So Titus 1, 1 through 5. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time, manifested his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And then, this is of course also one of the passages, it goes on from there, where he lists the qualities that should be becoming of an elder that they select, of the elders that they choose and they appoint. So there are several, I'm just going to go through this quickly, this could be a whole sermon, but there's several needs that, if you're reading this passage carefully, are implied. And that is that sinners need the gospel, Christians need local churches, and churches need qualified elders. And these needs that are implied are the result of actions required that Paul explicitly names here. And there are three things. And the first one is evangelize. So I'm actually going to trim down, in a sense, Paul's opening words here, because it's a mouthful, but you'll get the gist of where this comes through as I read kind of a consolidated version of the first few verses. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, through the preaching which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. So church planting always starts with the work of evangelism, with preaching the gospel to those who need to hear the good news, preaching the gospel to sinners in need of saving. And inevitably, as he did this, what would happen? People would get saved. And so then that leads to this second step in the pattern, which is organize. Now you need to organize this group of people who have come to know Jesus. And so he says to Titus in his instructions, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." So when he says what remained, well, what's he referring to here? Well, he's referring to the converts, the people who had come to know Jesus. It wasn't enough, in other words, just to preach the gospel and get a bunch of converts. We've had different evangelical movements that have recognized this along the way, where there have been tent revivals and mass revivals and preaching the gospel, and thousands and tens of thousands of people have come to Christ. And then later some of these movements have realized, well, shoot, we're leaving them without a home, a place to actually be discipled in. So Paul knew and recognized these people need to be discipled. They need to be strengthened and taught and trained. They needed a community of fellow believers to live and dwell amongst and depend upon the Holy Spirit together to work out what God was calling them to be. They needed, in other words, a local church. But then there's this other detail where Paul instructs Titus to appoint elders, and then this detail in particular, in every town. I mean, Paul could have just said, set up a church in the middle of the island of Crete and then be done with it. But a part of the organization was to establish churches in every town on that island, which is implied by that instruction to appoint elders in every town. If there were converts from a certain town, then they were to organize and establish a church there until that island was saturated with churches. That's just how it works. And we see that pattern over and over again in the Bible and throughout the history of the church. And then kind of implied as rinse and repeat. That work didn't stop in the island of Crete. It would continue on from there, planting churches in other towns and appointing elders in other towns where people come to know Jesus and needed to be organized into local bodies of Christ to grow together and to make more disciples. So the work of church planting stops when? Really only when the world is saturated with enough churches so that there's a gospel presence for every member of every community in every town in every country in the world. There's still work to be done when it comes to the work of church planting. And so from Scripture then we see that there's a biblical priority on the church and a biblical pattern for church planting as the means of saturating the world with the presence of Christ and his gospel. I'm going to transition here as we talk about, okay, well then, what does that mean more concretely for us here at Terra Nova, historically and moving forward? And the first thing here is that how we go about the work, how we engage in church planting is, first of all, by following the Acts chapter 1, verse 8 framework. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He's leaving some final instructions, missional instructions for his disciples as he's just about to ascend to heaven, and then shortly thereafter send his Holy Spirit to indwell his people. And here's what he says to them. "For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now I don't know if this is the right word, appropriated these, contextualized those different concentric circles of where the gospel should be spread in a specific strategic way here at Terra Nova. So Jerusalem was, of course, the epicenter of the Jewish faith and tradition and the area in and around where Jesus did much of his ministry work. And so that for us would be the capital region at Terra Nova. Judea, which is kind of an extension of Jerusalem and the land that Jesus did his ministry work in, is the northeast for us. And we do a lot of work with church planting in the northeast, which I'll talk about in a moment. Samaria is kind of like the marginalized or overlooked communities. So Samaria was that nation, that group of people to the north of Judea, where there was kind of, they looked at them as like inbreeds, like you had Jewish people who intermarried with pagan people, and so they were dead to us kind of a thing. Like, we're not going to associate with them. These are the overlooked outcast people that aren't worthy of our time. Well, Jesus is saying that a part of the missional strategy of his disciples should be to take their witness into Samaria. And so these are the marginalized or overlooked communities of our world. And then the ends of the earth. And for Terra Nova, that would be considering where can we be involved in international partnerships with church planting. But along with that, the second way in which we strategically are involved with church planting is through setting aside a tithe toward church planting. Those of you who are familiar, tithe is this idea of 10%, especially in the Old Testament. We see this principle of God calling his people to set aside 10% of the first fruits and give that back to him and to the temple and to the work of ministry that was being done through God's servants. And so, and that was done in an agrarian society primarily through, you know, crops or animals and things like that. But we take that principle and we actually have applied that towards the work of church planting here at Terra Nova. So 10% of the giving that comes in from you, as well as the giving that comes in from Terra Nova Troy, we partner together in this initiative, actually goes toward the work of church planting. And so in 2025, that combined 10% from both locations was $90,000 that we had the opportunity to steward towards the work of furthering the kingdom through church planting. And then the third principle that we operate by when it comes to engaging in this work is that we invest deeply and not broadly. Now, that is true for us. When I looked through the list of all the different churches we support, that might seem broadly rather than deeply. But I think part of what that reflects is while early on we would target like a couple churches and just kind of share the resources that we had from that tithe to those churches, as our congregations have grown numerically and generously in giving, the amount that we've had to work with is such that all these entities, the ranges between $6,000 and $12,000 a year, we're able to give to the work of church planting, which is a lot for these churches, especially since they're trying to collect multiple partnerships of people investing in their work. So it's enabled us to go a little bit more broad. But let me just walk through these different examples of churches that we've supported in 2025 and many of them prior to that, and even the category and headings that they fall underneath. So our Jerusalem, again, is the capital region. And for the last several years, we've partnered with a church down in Albany, Engage Albany. Some of you are familiar and know Pastor Sean Nolan and the Engage Albany church family. And so we've been blessed to partner with them over the past several years. One thing I would note here is that the heartbeat of Terra has always been to have gospel-centered, Christ-exalting churches being planted where they're needed in the downtown centers of the capital region, and they don't have to have a Terra Nova label on them. And so actually Sean Nolan he overlapped in a pastoral ministry internship with me at the same time I was down in Terra Nova and Troy, and so cut from the same cloth in many regards, and definitely a kindred spirit that the Terra family has with Engage Albany. Our Judea, again, is the Northeast. This is probably where we're most heavily involved in the work of church planting through our financial stewardship. I just want to highlight a couple of these. I really love the work that the Village Green Collective is doing. This is, for lack of a better term, it's almost a miniature version of something like Acts 29 or other church planting networks. But here's how they would define themselves. The Village Green Collective is a cross-denominational micro family of 10 churches in small town New England with two primary aims. Number one, to work together collaboratively to plant more churches in small town New England that are specifically without a gospel-centered church. And I was talking to Paul Gordon, who I'll mention in a moment, about New Hampshire alone having 59 towns they've identified that do not have at this point a gospel-centered church. And then number two objective is to cultivate a brotherhood amongst the planters in this collective so that they can be sustained in ministry, remain joyful and faithful in the hard work of church planting they've been called to in New England. The work was started, the Village Green Collective was started in 2021. Again, I mentioned Paul Gordon. Many of you know him. He's the executive director of the Terra Nova family of churches, but had been the lead planting pastor at Terra Nova North Adams, and so has a heart for New England and has been a bridge for us to the work that God is doing just an hour plus from here. So he's the director. They started in 2021. They planted their first church together in 2023 in Townsend, Massachusetts, Christ Church, and then their second church, Hope Church, in Henniker, New Hampshire in 2025, just last year in March. And between those two church plants, already they've had 8 new believers profess faith and be baptized in 2025. Right now, the Village Green Collective is making plans for planting a third church in Plymouth, New Hampshire, and they hope to launch in either 2027 or 2028. And they're also seeking to raise money as to be able to invest in residency programs, which is, this is where they'll train up their next, like, lead planter, as well as money to be able to have the bandwidth to coach existing church planters. And so they set out in 2026 to raise $96,000 and already have raised $84,000, and Terra Nova has happily contributed to that work. You'll probably be hearing more about Village Green Collective this fall. At some point, I want to have Pastor Paul come and preach and share as well a little bit about the work of the Village Green Collective. I mentioned a couple of church plants from the Village Green Collective. We also support them independently. So Christ Church in Townsend, Massachusetts, and then Hope Church in Henniker, New Hampshire. Let me just go a little bit narrower and deeper with Hope Church, the newest church plant out of VGC. It was planted last year, exactly a year ago, March 2025. Core group of 20 to 30 adults. The lead planter's name is Elliot DeLorme. And before this church plant was there, Henniker, New Hampshire, is a town of about 5,000 people with a small, prestigious New England college there that makes up a couple thousand of that population, and had no gospel-centered church there, present there. In their first year, since last March, the number of members has tripled, and their average Sunday attendance is around 110 people now. On Easter Sunday in 2025, so just a month or so after they launched, they baptized 6 new believers, and I'm told that they're baptizing a bunch more this Easter. And one of the cool things is that Elliot, the lead planter there, who planted just a year ago, is already hands-on in coaching Matthew Hubley, who is the potential lead planter for that new plant in Plymouth, New Hampshire that I mentioned. So, I mean, this is what discipleship's to be about. We don't wait until we are entirely comfortable and settled and secure before we continue to make more disciples. We stretch ourselves in that way. And it's cool to see that picture lived out through Elliot, who only a year in is already coaching another church planter. And then also in 2026, Hope Church is planning to launch a college ministry for the New England college that I mentioned that is there. 2,000 students in that college, and there is no Christian student club on campus, and so it's a very worthwhile endeavor for them to be seeking to start up a college ministry there in Henniker. A couple other churches that we support in greater Northeast, Renovation Church in North Syracuse. Mike Mazie is the lead pastor there. Actually, he's going to be our retreat speaker this fall at the men's retreat. I love Mike. He has been a blessing to me. His zeal for the Lord in church planting and many other areas is contagious. When you meet him, you'll understand why. City Light Church down in New York City just started up this past year, is a church that we have a partnership with. And this past fall, I believe, sent a group of people, I think, and on that occasion, mostly from Terra Troy, though we hope to have partnerships like this in the future from Terra Saratoga as well, to actually be with them and lead a service for them, just to kind of like take the load off of them for a Sunday during that critical stage of launching a new church. And then Legacy 242 down in Deptford, New Jersey. And then our Samaria, we have one church. These are, you know, this is the marginalized and overlooked communities of our world. And forgive me for butchering this. I'm not a Spanish speaker. Iglesia, should I have somebody better Spanish than me? Iglesia Cristiana Centrados en el Evangelical. What's that? Okay, thank you. So I looked it up on Google. Gospel-centered Christian church. That's at least how Google translated it. So the reason why they fall into this category of Samaria for us is that it's in a region of Providence, Rhode Island, that's very impoverished. About 70 to 80% Hispanic speaking, and it's kind of overlooked by the natives of that area, as the place you wouldn't want to live. So actually, Madison Wyman, and Paul Gordon went down there last year to visit Jonathan Lugo, the lead pastor, and just spend some time with him in their church context and report it back. It's about as inner city as you can get, but they're doing a great work down there. So it's a church in a hard place that we're happy to be able to support. And then finally, End of the Earth. This is, you know, our international partnerships. And we've partnered for the last few years with a church called Maranatha, Faith Maranatha in India. Pastor Sri is actually a close personal friend of Pastor Tori Arneson, our lead pastor down at Terranova and Troy, from their days of overlap in seminary together at Liberty University. And so that was our connect point with Sri. While we go narrow and deep in church planting with our corporate mission focus, I do want to mention, like, we still value deeply other forms of mission. We do support parachurch and specialized ministries. We have historically and some still currently, like Young Lives in the Capital Region. Of course, I don't know if she's here today, but many of you know Julie Bickley, who's the director for Young Lives, a subsidiary of Young Life, works with teen moms. This past Christmas during the Advent season, you heard Pastor Matt speak extensively to and even give some updates about Energy for Mission in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Africa, a ministry that seeks to support vulnerable women and also support the work of reconciliation in war-torn villages in the DRC. And then some of you may remember Sky Herrick, who was a part of our congregation for a year or two. Pastor Matt and I had a chance to visit with her. She was in the area from Kenya, right, Nairobi, visiting a couple weeks ago. And she, for, I don't know, at least a half dozen years has partnered, she and one other person started up, a ministry called Oaks and Crown, which what they do is just cool work. They train up and they equip young Christian entrepreneurs to start up new businesses in their villages or cities in Africa. But there's also a discipleship component to it. So not just the practical training on how do you start up a new business, but then also to see those entrepreneurial businesses as endeavors to bless their communities and as inroads for the gospel. And so I think it was a different advent that we felt led by the Lord to support Oaks and Crown, and you guys gave generously toward that work. So these things matter deeply. Many others, the parachurch ministries, we love. And as God clearly brings opportunities across our path, then we prayerfully consider joining and partnering with these as well. But our primary corporate focus remains planting churches. Just, again, that unspoken value of wanting to go narrow and deep and do something really well. Now, a couple other things as we move toward a close. Again, it can be hard to appreciate sometimes why do we need more churches. I mean, you see so many churches on church corners, even in Saratoga County. And so you could think, do we really need more church plants? So here's some statistics that I pulled up from the 2020 U.S. Religion Census that are eye-opening and sobering and kind of help you appreciate this. This is just for Saratoga County. You get into New England, and it's an even more dire situation in some places in New England. So Saratoga County, back in 2020, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I guess, 236,000 people. In terms of those who affiliate with gospel preaching denominations, was about 15,500, about 6.6%. However, there was the caveat in the study that said those who actively attend gospel preaching denominations is probably 30% less than that, so about 10,000 or 4.3% of the population in Saratoga County. So, I mean, what that means is that the percent of people in Saratoga County who are unreached, at least through not being actively a part of gospel preaching denominations, is 95.7% of people. That's a lot of people. The number of churches, by the way, represent in this survey that kind of fell under that category of kind of evangelical gospel preaching churches is about 45. If you do the average attendance, if you're taking that 10,000 number across 45 churches, you get about an average of 222 people per church. Now, probably the majority of those churches are 100 or less, but you've got a few churches that are 800 to 1,000 that skew that number. But here's the bottom line here, and take this for what it's worth. This is my own statistic, not theirs. But here's the number of churches that you would need at that above average of 222 to reach the 95.7. 1,017 more churches. If everybody who calls Saratoga County home was to have a home church at that average, and that's a side trail in terms of the size church that best lends itself to be making more and better disciples, but you'd need 1,000 more churches, so there definitely is a need for more gospel-preaching, Christ-centered churches, even in Saratoga County alone, not to mention in the Northeast and in the world. Now, where do we need to grow as a church. And some of the benefit of this series has not just been to be able to share our hearts with you guys and remind you even of where, of who we are as a church at Terra Nova, but to recognize as pastors and under shepherds to Jesus where it is that we can do a better job of equipping, you to make more and better disciples. And one of our honest realizations has been we haven't always done a good job of helping you to feel connected to this mission of church planting at Terra Nova. My guess is if I were to ask you today, if you could name one of the churches that we support, probably you couldn't. And that's on us. And so if we're investing this much in church planting, if we're going narrow and deep as our corporate mission together, then our church family should feel more like partners. You should feel more like partners in this, not just donors to it that you find out about once in a while. So I've actually began with Paul Gordon over the past couple of weeks to talk about, well, what are some of the ways we're planning or could do a better job of engaging you in this mission? And so one of the things we're going to be asking all of those supported churches to do is to send us a brief video update from the lead pastor planter to kind of say, hey, here's who I am. Thank you so much, Terra Nova, and here's what God is doing in our context. And to be able to periodically sprinkle those throughout the year for you guys to see a video update from these churches that you're partnering and supporting. We're hoping to get 1 to 2 of them to actually come over the next 12 months here and just share in person, preach the word, and share an update of what God is doing in their context. We'd like to do more missionary Sundays. So I'd mentioned the one down to New York City to City Light Church. And I don't want to mention the specific one yet in case I'm overpromising and under-delivering, but we're beginning conversations with a particular church on that list that we would like to be able to take, specifically this time from Saratoga, a group of people to go and be boots on the ground and help lead a worship service up there. So that would be somebody preaching, some members of our worship team leading worship, and some others who just want to be there to celebrate and encourage the work that God's doing. I remember in 2012, in our core launch phase, and in 2013 when we first started here, how encouraging it was when other churches would send contingents just to be with us and worshiping. How that would bolster our sense of the solidarity of the Big C Church being with us and the work God was doing here at Saratoga. I remember going up to Sherbrooke, Quebec, and one of the church plants back in probably 2007 or 8 we were supporting through Terra Troy, being there on their launch Sunday. And I mean, there were so many people there, I don't know if I encouraged them, but I, by seeing the work God was doing in literally a foreign country, French-speaking, couldn't understand what they were saying, but was so encouraged by going someplace to see how God was at work through a church plant that was just birthing somewhere else. So we want to create spaces like that for you to partner. And then one of the other cool ideas that Paul had is at some point in the future, we may have a prayer board down in the lobby that kind of has a geographic outline of the Northeast in particular, the churches that we support, and then some prayer cards for each of those churches as to the things they're specifically asking for prayer for, so that you can take a card and pray for that church. And then the other thing too, and this kind of ties together last week's message on our incarnational lives with this week's, is we want to better equip you to be about the work of personal evangelism and the work of mission together in small groups and alongside one another. So last week we talked about incarnational living and our desire that the primary mission of our people isn't institutional programs and events that Terra Nova puts on, but rather personal evangelism, that we're living as missionaries among our friends and neighbors and coworkers and non-believing family members. And so in asking ourselves the question of, well, how do we balance this tension of the effort and energy and resources we're putting into corporate focus on church planting with our emphasis on personal evangelism, there are two things I want to mention here. Number one, we see that these things aren't so detached from each other after all. If the pattern of church planting, as we saw today from Titus 1, starts with preaching the gospel and evangelism, then a renewed emphasis on equipping our people to be on mission and sharing the gospel in the places that God has put you serves to support the focus on church planting, especially locally in our own region here. But we've also realized that because personal mission serves to support church planting, we're toying with the idea of what would it look like? 10% is a large amount of the resources that come in from your generosity. What would it look like to reallocate a small percentage of that, maybe even a couple percent, toward the work of equipping evangelists at Terra Nova through trainings. We've even talked about what if we were to just set aside a portion to give to our tribes along with some guidance to invest in the work of mission as a small group together in their communities. So pray for us in that, for wisdom in that, because we're excited about the possibilities here. And the point just being, these things are not detached. Your mission on an everyday basis to be engaged in relationships with non-believers is not at all detached from the mission and the work of church planting, because it starts with evangelism. And then as people come to know Christ and grow in an area, then it continues with putting those things in order, organizing local churches, and appointing elders and leaders to those churches in every town where a church is needed. So listen, guys, if God continues to raise up people and leaders and resources and to multiply small groups here at Terra, and we identify a town that needs more of a gospel presence, then we would gladly plant another church again. So a part of our hope then from today is that we would help to impart this vision to you as well, to think bigger than just Terra Nova, Saratoga. It's easy to get insular, but to think bigger than just ourselves and how we can continue to be involved in the work of church planting in our region and beyond. So I'm going to pray and just ask for God's help in that, to give us his eyes to be able to see the need for more churches in our area and around the world. And the band's going to come forward, and then after I pray, we'll continue in our time of worship. We'll spend some time in confession together, and then celebrating the Lord's Supper together. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you humbled by your grace in our lives, even as we recognize where we fall short of your glory and are in need of forgiveness, and recognize at the same time your great grace and love toward us in Christ. We thank you that we belong to Jesus. We thank you that as a result of that we belong to one another. And both of those things tell us to look outward and not just inward. And so, Lord, from the beginning, you have advanced your kingdom and the good news of the gospel through your people, through establishing local churches, of which we are one. Let us not lose sight of the beneficiaries we are of that great work that you're doing. And let us have eyes, give us eyes to see, a vision for, a lens through which to see the work of church planting continued in our towns, here even in Saratoga County and beyond. Just fan our hearts into flame. But Lord, we know that that starts with our, not just building something, not just being a part of an entity that is over there, but it starts with our hearts being on fire to share the gospel with the people you put right in our lives. So Lord, renew the joy of your salvation in our hearts, and from the overflow, help us to be zealous about sharing that same gospel with those in need. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.